In the current daf Nandalat Masechtas Brachas, we begin the ninth parak, the last parak of Masechtas Brachas, called Parak Haroya. This changes from the sixth parak of Masechtas Brachas, which spoke about Berachas Hanenen, of things that we enjoy from the world. The seventh and eighth parakim spoke about Berachas Hamazon and Berachas Hazimun, the different brachas that come up in the meal. And now this parak speaks about Berachas Shvach V'Hoidah, different brachas of blessing and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and praises to Him for all the different miracles that He's done to us. So our Mishnah begins talking about the different places that miracles, Nisim, had happened to Klal Yisrael. And the Mishnah begins, Haroya Mokim Shanasa by Nisim Liyisrael. If someone sees a place where miracles were done for Klal Yisrael, as those that the Mishnah is going to teach us when they crossed the Yamsuf and the Yarden and Nachli Arnon. So what does one say? Oyim Baruch Sha'asa Nisim Laveisein B'Mokim Hazeh. You say the following bracha, that Hashem should be blessed, that He made miracles for our fathers in this place. And Tesis brings from Rabbeinu Shemaya that all these brachas require mentioning Hashem's name and Malchus, which is Baruch Atah Hashem L'keinu Melech Olam, and then you finish off the bracha Sha'asa Nisim Laveisena B'Mokim Hazeh. So the Mishnah continues, Mokim Shenekru Mimenu Akim, and a place where Avodah Zarah, idol worship, was uprooted from there. So that's also a miracle. That's something that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we give Shvach and Oidah of Him. So there we say, Oimei Baruch Sha'akar Akim Meretzeinu, that Hashem should be blessed that He uprooted Avodah Zarah from our lands. So those are miracles. Now the Mishnah continues with different natural events that are also, so to speak, Shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we see about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Al HaZikin, which the Gemara is going to explain what Zikin actually is, V'Al HaZvois, and on earthquakes, V'Al HaRom, and on thunder, V'Al HaRuchas, and on winds, V'Al HaBrokim, and on lightning. So these are also HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might. So Ema Baruch Shekoich Gvrasim Oli Olam, that we say that Hashem should be blessed, that His strength and His might fills the whole world. And that is because since these things are all seen or heard very far, it so to speak shows Hashem's might, and we give a bracha of Shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Mishnah continues with different types of permanent natural phenomena, not things that happen once in a while like thunder and lightning, but rather things that have always been there. So the Mishnah says, Al Haharim, on the mountains, Balak Voyas, and on the hills, Bala Yam, and on the seas, Bala Naharis, and on the rivers, and Bala Midbaris, and on the deserts. So Taisa explains that all these things that we say that we're going to say a following bracha because it shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's splendor and glory throughout the world is necessarily, if you only saw it the last time more than 30 days before. Just like the Mishnah is going to explain regarding when we see the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea, that's only once every 30 days. That's what all these things are, the mountains and the hills, and although they're awesome sights, it's only if you didn't see it in 30 days. What's the bracha? Ayma Baruch Eisa Vereishis, which our Girsa are Baruch Eisa Maisa Vereishis, that Hashem should be blessed that He makes the things that have been made in the 6 days of creation. And the Gemara is going to ask what all those things that we mentioned before with our thunder and lightning are not Maisa Vereishis. They weren't created also in the beginning of the world. But that's the fact, these things have always been there, and we make the bracha Isa Maisa Vereishis. So then the Mishnah quotes that Rabbi Huda says, and this is L'Shitasi, as we've seen in previous parakim, that Rabbi Huda wants to get very specific in subcategories of brachas. He says, Haroya Sayyam HaGadol, whoever sees the great sea, Oimer Baruch Sha'asa Es Hayam HaGadol. He says it more specific than just all the seas, which is the bracha that said about, we said on, it's Oysa Maisa Vereishis, but by the Yamagol, he makes a special bracha that Hashem should be blessed that He made the great sea. And the reason why he picks that out from all the other seas is because since it's Mochashav and greater than the other ones, Rabbi Huda made it that it should have its own bracha. Now the Mishnah continues, that's Bizman Sherei Leprakim, that's only if you saw it once in every certain amount of time, which the Yerushalmi explains to be once every 30 days. And as we mentioned from Taisus, Taisus says that all these things, all these phenomena are the same way. It's only if you didn't see it in 30 days that you make the bracha, but if you see it every day, you don't make the bracha every single day. Now the Mishnah continues regarding different brachas of things that happen in a person's life, both of good and bad phenomena. So the Mishnah says, Alek Shamim Va'al Besruz type. It's regarding rain and hearing good news, which are both good things. Oyim Baruch HaTeva Meit, we make a bracha, Hashem that is good and He does good. Al Besuris Rois, and some have the Girsa on Shmuis Rois, which means on hearing bad news, because no one tells you Besuris, so to speak, on news that's told over. You're not supposed to give over bad news. Rather, if you hear the bad news, just happen to be hearing it. So he says, Baruch Dainamas, that Hashem should be blessed, that He's the true judge, that although it's something that it's bad news, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just in what He does. So the Mishnah continues, Bona Bayis Chodesh V'Kona Kelim Chadosh. When someone builds a new house or he purchases new keli, a new vessel, a new car, something that's a keli. So Aymer, so he says, Baruch Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. You make a Shechiyonu, which is that Hashem should be blessed, that He's kept us alive, and He sustained us, and He's made us reach this plateau for this time, that we thank Hashem that we got this, so to speak, this good thing of a new house, and a new vessel, a new shirt, a new article of clothing. Then Mishnah continues that, Mevarch al hara'a me'in al ha'tayva. That one has to make a bracha on what happens bad, which is dino emes, even though it's a sampling of something that to come is going to be good. Val ha'tayva me'in al hara'a, and one makes on something that happens good. In other words, he makes the bracha of ha'tayva me'etiv, even though it has a sampling of to come that will be bad. Which the Gemara will explain exactly what does this mean. So then the Mishnah continues regarding this, that bad things, bad news come to a person, or bad things that can happen, that if someone's crying on the past, he's screaming out for something that has already happened, so that's a tefillah in vain. As they say, you're crying over spilled milk, but it's more specific, as the Mishnah explains. He said, if a man's wife is pregnant, and he says, let it be the will of Hashem that my wife give birth to a male, it's a tefillah in vain because it's already there, it's already a female or a male, he just doesn't know because it's hidden in the womb of the woman. Similarly, if he's going on the road, and he hears as he's coming to the city, he hears a scream from the city, and he says, let it be the will of Hashem that that scream not be coming from my house. It's a tefillah shav, it's a tefillah in vain. Because if someone hears bad news and says, oh, I hope it wasn't, you know, that type of person, so that, again, that's a tefillah in vain because what happened, you just don't know. Therefore, that's not the proper tefillah a person should be saying at that time. Tefillah a person could say is that I hope that they get better or whatever it is, but not that something about the past, because that's a tefillah shav. Then the Mishnah continues on something, a similar type of thing regarding preventing bad things. Hanichnas lekrach, if someone goes into a city, in other words, he's going on the road and he has to pass by a city that there's evil people and there's cops out to, so to speak, catch you and do bad things to the person. So mispal shtayim, a person should make two different tefillahs, two different prayers. Achas bechnisasev, achas bitziasev, once when he's coming into the city that he should come in peace, and once when he's leaving that he should daven, that he should leave in peace. And the borders are always dangerous areas. Benazi says that one makes four tefillahs. Shtayim bechnisasev, it's shtayim bitziasev, two tefillahs when he's coming into the city and two when he's coming out. And that is, each time, first you give thanks on the past, and that's when you're coming in, that you made it there, and then you scream about the future. And similarly, when one's leaving, it's the same type of idea. And a person has to give thanks for the past, and then one, so to speak, screams out for the future, that everything should work out in the continuation of his journey. So then the Mishnah continues on this theme of good and bad, that one has to make a bracha, has to bless Hashem for the bad that happens to him, just like he would make a bracha on the good. And that is now, our Mishnah is going to explain these three different terminologies of chalvavcha, v'chal nafshcha, v'chal meidecha, and from v'chal meidecha, we're going to see this halacha that one has to make a bracha on the bad, just like he makes on the good, as the Mishnah brings. Shenema, v'yahavtis Hashem l'kecha, v'chalvavcha, v'goymer, that one should love, you should love Hashem, your God, with all your heart. So now the Mishnah explains all these three terminologies. V'chalvavcha, what does it mean to love Hashem with all your heart? It should have said, v'chalipcha, what's the extra vase? To tell you, b'shnei yitzrecha, with both of your inclinations, that is, b'yetzah tov, b'yetzah hara, with your good and your bad inclination, which represents the two hearts, that's the left and the right ventricle, that each one of them represents, right represents the chesed, and left represents ra, and that is the heart, the blood that's in each one of them, is that a person should serve Hashem with both his good and his bad inclinations. All his midah should be used in the service of Hashem. V'chol navshcha, with all your soul. What does that mean to love Hashem with all your soul? Even if He takes away your soul, in other words, mesiras nefesh, you should love Hashem that far. And with all your resources, tells you with all your money. That's one pshat in b'chol meyadecha. And this is the pshat that the Mishnah is being a proof that one should thank Hashem for the bad, just like on the good, is that b'chol meyadecha is from the word midah. B'chol midah u'midah shu moided lach, that with every measurement that He measures out for you, in other words, whether it's good or bad, have a moided lach, you should thank Him again. These are all exact, the good and the bad is, so to speak, relative to the person's perception, but really, one has to thank Hashem b'chol miyadecha with all the measurements, because they're all good. It's just that we don't comprehend in our understanding of it. Now the Mishnah continues that the source of all these brachas is Hashem, and therefore we have to have a certain kavod when we're dealing, so to speak, with an area that's designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. which is lo yakal adam esreisha keneged shar hamizrach. A person should not behave lightheaded when he's facing the eastern gate of Har Habayis. Why? Shu mechuvin keneged beis kodesh kodeshim, because that's perfectly aligned with the kodesh kodeshim, with the holiest of the holies. And that is because all the different gates were directly aligned, one opposite the other, which was the eastern gate of the Har Habayis, which was directly opposite the gate of the Ezes Nashim, which was facing the gate of the Ezes Yisrael, and which to the opening of the Ulam, the antechamber, into the Heichel, into the Kadja Kadshim. And that is in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, when there was an Amatraxon, which was this wall that separated between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holiest of Holies, and the rest of the Heichel, rest of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why one should not act lightheaded, because, again, so to speak, the doors open straight there into the Kadja Kadshim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina rests specifically more than everywhere else. Another halacha is, one should not enter to the Har Habayis, which was the mountain which the Beis HaMikdash was built, not with his staff, with his stick, and with his shoes, the pependasai, which was an empty belt which people would put their money in. It's a money belt. And the dust on one's feet, because all these different things are not proper to come in with into a holy place. One should not make the Har Habayis into a shortcut, like I have to get from one place. In other words, I'll cut through there. And definitely one should not spit in the Beis HaMikdash and on the Har Habayis, which the Gemara is going to explain what the Kal V'Chomer is. So now the Mishnah continues. We're discussing brachas, so we're discussing the Beis HaMikdash now. So we say that kol chois mei brachas shebemikdash hayoyimim ad ha'olam. All those that would conclude their brachas in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're ending off your bracha, they would say ad ha'olam. And that is the Gemara Masechtas Tainus says that in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't answer amen. Rather, the way it works is that the mevarch, the one who's making the bracha, at the end of every bracha, he says baruch atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam, baruch chayin adas. In other words, not just like we say baruch atah Hashem chayin adas, it's a whole nusach saying that baruch atah Hashem, the God of Yisrael, from this world to the next world, baruch chayin adas. And similarly by all the brachas. And the one who answers doesn't answer just amen, he answers baruch Hashem kivayin machusay lo'olam vat. And it's learned out from a pasuk by the tefillah of Ezra. So what the Mishnah is telling us over here is that by the Beis HaMikdash, by the first Beis HaMikdash, they didn't say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam. Rather, they only said Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam, and they didn't add on the words v'yad ha'olam. It was only from the world. The whole world should be, so to speak, say your praise. Mishakilkla Tzedukim, but from when the Tzedukim, who are second in the Jewish people, that they went and va'amr ein oilam ela echad, and they said that there's only one world, there's no two worlds. So eskinu shi'ayimim in oilam ad oilam. So then they instituted Ezra and all those that were with him that one should not just say min oilam, but rather min oilam v'yad oilam, from this world to the next world, to say that there are two worlds, which was coming to exclude from the opinion of Tzedukim that they denied tchias ameisim, that the dead are going to be resurrected and that there will be a coming world. That's why in the second Beis HaMikdash they instituted min oilam ad oilam, but in the first Beis HaMikdash was only ad ha'olam. A similar takana that was made in the times of Ezra, that they instituted that one should greet his friend with Hashem's name. That is, that wasn't considered a zilzal, so to speak, like a disgrace in the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the honor of his friend, to use Hashem's name. And that they learn out from Bayez, as the Gemara brings, Shenema Avihini Bayez Bomi Beis Lechem. Bayez is coming from Beis Lechem. V'yayim ala koitzim Hashem Yochem, said to the one who were reaping the crop, Hashem, be with you. V'yayim alayim, they said to him, Yivrech Hashem, Hashem shall bless you. So you see that he used Hashem's name as a greeting to others, and that's not considered a disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Omer, similarly, we find the pasuk when the Malach was talking to Gidon, Hashem imcha gibra achal, Hashem is with you, mighty warrior. And we say again, he's using Hashem's name as a greeting to Gidon. Va'imer, and moreover, the pasuk says, al taviz kizikne imcha, don't embarrass your mother because she's getting old. That's the literal translation. But what it means is, zikne imcha is the reference to the zikene, the elders of umecha, of your nation. In other words, you should learn from the words of that the elders of your nation had done to see what they did, and you should do the same thing. In other words, just like Bayaz and Gidon had said that you shouldn't disgrace them, and you should do the same thing. I think I'm going to explain exactly what is this v'yoymer. V'yoymer, and finally, there's another passage that says, is las is l'ashem efer says secha, that it was a time to do for Hashem. They annulled, they abolished your Torah. Shab Nassan Aymer, Nassan says, Hey, Pharisei Secha, why did they abolish your Torah? Mishum Eis Lass Hashem, because it was a time to do for Hashem. And that is sometimes that you're allowed to be mevatel, you're allowed to annul the words of Torah to do for Hashem. Here also, this person that his intent is to inquire about how his friend is doing to greet him. That is the Ritzayin Neshamim, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. As the Pasuk says, Bakei Shalom Retfei, you should seek peace and run after it, you should pursue it. So therefore, you're allowed to annul Torah and to do something that seems like it's forbidden. It's not really forbidden, but it seems like because he's using Hashem's name for just a mundane purpose. Still, that's permitted because that's a Eis Las Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to do that to make peace among men. So now the Gemara inquires about the whole Yisoid of our Menoha Nemili. From where do we know that one makes a bracha on a Nes, on a miracle? So Amr Reb Yechonah D'Amar Krad says in the Pasuk, V'yemi Yisroi Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzlo V'Gomer. Yisroi told when he came to the Jews in the Midbar in the desert, he says, Hashem should be blessed that he saved you from Mitzrayim and all them different miracles. So you see that he made a bracha for a nest that happened to Kala Yisrael. So the Gemara is medayik from both this pasuk, which is the Raya, and from the Mishnah, which is Anisa the Rabban Bevechinon, Anisa the Yochel Loim Bevechinon, that it sounds like that a miracle that happens to the masses of Kala Yisrael, then you make a bracha, which is when they left Mitzrayim, when they went to Kriyas Yamsev. But a nest that happens for an individual, then one does not make a bracha. But the Gemara asks, Vaha, Hu Gavra Dava Ka'azal Ba'Avi Yamina, there was this individual that he was going through Avi Yamina, which was the name of a city in the south of Persia. Nafal ala Arya, a lion fell on him. Isavale Nisa Visnatsalmane, a miracle happened and he was saved from the lion. So Aslik Hamed the Rava, so he came in front of the Rava. Vamalay and Rava told him, Kal Emis de Matis Lahasam, Baruch, Baruch Shaasli Nesba Makamazeh. Anytime you come to that place, you should make, as long as it was 30 days that went by, you should make the bracha that Hashem should be blessed that he made a miracle for me in this place. Similar type of story the Gemara brings that Marbarid Ravina, that he was going in the valley of Arvis, and he got thirsty for water. He was dying from thirst. So a miracle happened to him. It was literally created a well of water, and he drank from it. Then another time, he was going in the marketplace in Mechaza. A wild donkey fell on him, was attacking him. So the wall had a breach just broke out in the wall, and Olagave, he went into that spot. In other words, that literally the wall of a house broke open that was near him, and he was able to, so to speak, crawl through that space to get away from the donkey. So the Gemara says that Kimot la'arvis, when he would go to Arvis, which was the place where he had the miracle of the well, Baruch, Baruch, Sha'asli, Nespa, Arvis, Abagamal. He would mention both miracles, but he would mention the miracle of Arvis first that happened to me in Arvis and the one with the donkey. Kimot the Lariska, the Mechaiza, when we came to the place of the marketplace of Mechaiza, which is the miracle with the donkey, Baruch, Baruch, Sha'asli, Nespa, Gamal, Arvis. Then he would also mention both, because once he's mentioning, he would say all the miracles Hashem did for him, but he would first mention the miracle of that place and then the other one. But what we see from both these stories is that even for an individual, there is a chiv to make a bracha on Nisim. And our Mishnah only says that a person has to make a miracle, has to say a bracha by a miracle habit of Kala Yisrael. So the Gemara answers that Amri Anisa de Rabim Kul Alma Mechayv Levruche. What it's telling us is that our Mishnah and the Pasuk is saying that a miracle happens to the masses of Kala Yisrael, that every single Jew has to make the bracha. Anisa de Yachid, but when it's a miracle happens just for an individual, Ihu Chayv Levruche, he has to make the bracha and not anyone else. And the Gra brings down the Girsa from the Goenim and the Rif, that Ihu, he, and Berei, Ubarbre, him, and his son, and his grandson, they all have to make the bracha on the miracle that happened to their grandfather and their great-grandfather because they are descendants from him. And some say even students, and that was the story with Reb Chaim Voloshin that made a bracha where his Rebbe, the Vilna Goen, who's bringing down this halacha, was saved, and that's why, because of, it's not just the individual, it's also his students and his children, but everyone else, the rest of Klal Yisrael, do not have to make that bracha. So now the Gemara goes to discuss all the different places that were mentioned in our Mishnah that were places which were miracles that happened to our forefathers, to our avos in different places throughout history. So Tanya Rabban, we learn that b'raisa haroyim ma'abris hayam, someone that sees the place where they crossed the Yamsuf, u'ma'abris hayarden, and where they crossed the Jordan River in the times of Yeshua, ma'abris nachli arnoin, and in the crossing of nachli arnoin, which the Gemara later is going to explain what that is, Avnei Algavish, Bemurid Beis Chayrin, and the stones of Algavish in the descent of Beis Chayrin. This was in the days of Yeshua, as it's brought in Sefer Yeshua. Ve'evin Shebikush Lizrik Oig Melech HaBashan Al Yisrael. And when one sees the stone that Oig, the king of Bashan, wanted to throw on top of Klal Yisrael. Ve'evin Sheyashab Alei Moshe B'Shosh Osi Yeshua Mechome Bamalek. And the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu had sat on at the time when Yeshua was fighting and waging a war against Amalek. the ishta shalit, and when one sees the wife of Lot, if he sees the wall of Jericho, of Yericho, that was swallowed up in its place, on all these different things, when you see these phenomena, you have to give haidah, thanks, and shvach, and praise to, in front of our Kaddish Baruch. So now the Gemara discusses all these different areas. Bishlam and Mabris Hayom, I understand the crossing of the Yam. So the Chassid, it says in the Pasuk that we know there was this type of miracle, Vayivoyu v'nei Yisrael b'teich Hayom b'yabasha, that the Jewish people came into the sea on dry land. And therefore we see, obviously it was a great miracle, so you have to say thanks and shvach when you pass by there. Mavrish HaYarden, what was the crossing of the Jordan? The Chziv, V'yamdo HaKoyenim Nusia Orin B'ris HaShem B'charova B'toich HaYarden Hachin, that the Kahanim, those who were carrying the Orin of the Bris, of the covenant of Hashem, they were on dry land inside the Jordan River, that's how they were standing. V'chol Yisroelim Oivim B'charova, and all of Klai Yisrael passed by on dry land, Ad HaShetamu Kol HaGoy LaVazion, until the entire nation crossed by the Jordan River. Elamavris Nachle Arnamanon, but where do we know there was a miracle by the crossing of the valley of Arnon? So the Gemara says, the Chsiva says in the Pasuk as follows, Al Kain Yaomar Besefel Mochamas Hashem Esvehe Besufa. And that's why it's said and it's written in the books of the wars of Hashem, Esvehe Besufa. So what does that mean? So Tana, we learned, Esvehe Besufa. What does it mean, Es and Heve were there at the end? That is, Shnei Mitzurim Hayu, they were two people that had Tsaras. They had this affliction of Tsaras. That they were going at the end of the encampment of Klai, so which they have to be sent out of all the different camps. So therefore, they were, so to speak, traveling in the desert behind everybody. When the Klai were passing by, so the Amorites came, and they wanted to attack. They all wanted to fight against Klai. So now we continue on to Nandalim and Beis. So what did they do? They made caves, and they hid in them. And that is, there were two large mountains that were on this, on the two different borders of Moab and the Amorites. And Klai Yisrael had to pass through this very narrow straits, this valley that went between these two large mountains. So what the Amorim did is that they went onto their side and they made these caves inside and they hid there. So Amri, they said, Ki Chalfi Yisrael Hocha Niktalin, when Klai Yisrael passes by over there, we're going to kill them, we're going to throw down rocks and everything on them, and we'll kill them because we're going to have to ambush them from on top of the mountain. However, they did not know that the Ark, the Aron, would go in front of Klal Yisrael, and it would flatten down all the mountains that were in front of them. It would make it easy and convenient for Klal Yisrael that they shouldn't have to walk, that it would flatten it out, and they could walk over that area, and therefore everything was flat. So therefore, v'kiven the asa aron idbukud tari b'hadi adad v'kat linun. So when the ark actually came in front of Klai Yisrael, it attached the two mounds together, and so to speak, Klai Yisrael was able to just walk over it, and that there was no, so to speak, bumps, and it killed the Amorites that were hiding in the mountain. V'nochas damayu l'nachli Arnon, and their blood dripped down into the river of Arnon. So ki asu esvahayv, when esvahayv, who were traveling behind Klai Yisrael, Chazudama, the Kanafik Mibeinatur, they saw blood dripping out of the between the mountains. And that is when the mountains finally went back, because when the mountains came together, so the point of one came into the way the caves of the other one and killed them inside. Now after Kalaisa went by, so the mountains went back, and then the blood started dripping out, and they saw because they were behind of Kalaisa. So Asu Va'amri Lahuli Yisrael Va'amri Shira. So they went and they told Kalaisa, look behind you, look at the blood. And the Kalaisa realized, wow, what a miracle, they didn't know about it. And then they said, Shira. So this is what the pasuk means when it says ve'eshet hanecholim, and the outpouring of the canyons asher noto l'sheves ar, that when it veered to dwell at ar, and that is the mountain that was on the side of the valley, when it, so to speak, veered and turned to the other mountain which was next to it, which was to the side of Moav, that is because the name of the city in Moav was called Ar, so that is when it turned to, so to speak, meet each other. V'nishan l'gvul Moav, and it leaned over to the border of Moav. That was the miracle, that then that was the outpouring of blood that happened from all the enemies that were killed there, and that's the miracle that we say what happened in Nachle Arnon. So Avni Algabish. Another thing that the Braisa mentioned was the stones of Algabish. So my Avni Algabish, what are these stones of Algabish? So Tana, we learned that Avonim Sh'andu Algav Ish. It's a contraction of the words Algav Ish, that the stones that stood up and stayed in the sky because of the man. And the Yardu Algav Ish, and they came down because of the man. Who is the man? So there's two different miracles. Amdu al gavish, that they stayed in the ear because of the man Zeh Moshe. That's a reference to Moshe. The chesiv is the pasuk refers to him as Ish. Va'ish Moshe anav Moshe, and the man Moshe was very humble. The chesiv, and where do we find that stone stayed in mid ear because of Moshe? It says in Mitzrayim ve'yechdlu hakoylois v'habard, and that the thunder and the hail ceased. Umatur lo nitach arza, and the rain did not even reach to the ground. And that is Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that it should stop. It didn't even reach. It stopped in mid-air, and that's where it stopped. So we see that that was the great miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu, when they davened that the makkah of Barit should stop, it stopped in mid-air, and it didn't even finish coming down. Yardlo gavish, that Yeshua, this said that the stones came down because of the man. That's a reference to Yeshua. The Chassid says in the pasuk, "Kach luchas Yeshua ben Nun ish asher ruach." We see Yeshua is called Ish. That Hashem tells Moshe, "Take for yourself the man Yeshua ben Nun that has a spirit in him." And where do we see that there's a miracle that rocks came down because of him? He saw that it was that the enemy was running away from Klal Yisrael. He bemoed Beis Charan, that they were in the descent of Beis Charan. Hashem hishlichem aleim avon gedolim, and Hashem was throwing on them great stones. So we see that it was al gav ish because of Yeshua, who was called Ish, that the stones came down bemoed Beis Charan on the descent of Beis Charan. Another one of the miracles that the Brisa mentioned was Evan Shabikash Oig Melech HaBashan Lizrak Al Yisrael. There was a stone that Oig, the king of Bashan, wanted to throw onto Klai Yisrael. So the Gemara explains that Gemara, we have a tradition about this story, exactly how it happened. We have a Messiah that went as follows. Amar Machni Yisrael Kamahava. He said, how large is the encampment of Klai Yisrael? This is Oig was thinking to himself. He says, how big are they? There are three parasa. As the Pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel says, that Vayachnu mi Beis HaYeshimis ad Evel HaShitim, that they were encamped from Beis HaYeshimis until Evel HaShitim. And the Gemara there says that Rabbi Baruch Chana says, I saw that area, and it was three parasa long by three parasa wide. And that is, as the Gemara says, Tlasa parasa, that's around 9 miles square. So he said, Oig said, he was pretty big, he was a giant. Ezel V'yakar Tur bat Tlasa parasa. Let me go ahead, rip up a mountain that's three parasa big. It's the exact same size as Klai Yisrael. I'll pick it up, I'll throw it on them, and they'll all die. Done with the Jewish people. So that's what he did. He uprooted a mountain that was three parasi big, and they put it on his head. But what happened was, because Baruch Hu brought on the mountain ants. And they made holes in it until, it, so to speak, he's holding one part, but then they cut around it, and it fell around his neck. Have a boy lemishvah. He wanted to pick it up from his around his head. Mashchishchine lahaygisu lahaygisu lemosl mishvah. Hashem made another miracle that his teeth grew long in this way and in that way, and now they were stuck in the mountain. Now he couldn't pick it up because his teeth were stuck in it. And the Gemara says behind the chesiv shini rishom shebarta okdim shem melakish, that this is what the pasuk means as Rish Lakish interprets the pasuk of the teeth of the wicked you broke. That the Amr Shemalokish, Maidachsev Shinir Risham Shabarta, what does it mean that the teeth of the wicked you broke? Atikashibarta el Shivavta. Don't read it that you broke, but rather read it that you extended. That was the miracle that the wicked ones, you extended their teeth, and now he couldn't pick up the mountain. He had this mountain that was three parts squared around his head with his teeth stuck into it. So the Gemara concludes what the story was that Moshe Kamahava Esamas. How tall was Moshe Benu? He was 10 Amas. He was around 20 Amas tall. And that is, we know that because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that, so to speak, put together the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, it says that it was Eser Amos Erech HaKarash, that the planks were 10 Amos high. And therefore, we know that obviously that he was able to put it together, that he was at least 10 Amos high. So because it says that he extended himself to the height of the Mishkan. So he was 10 Amos high. Shokol Narga Bar Yasam, and then he took an axe that was 10 Amos high. So we're up to 40 feet. And then Shavar Asam, and then he jumped 10 Amis, which gets it up to 60 feet. Umachi Brakasu Livakale. And then he hit Oig by his ankle. That's how tall Oig was. And then he killed him. That's the miracle that we say that this was the stone that Oig wanted to throw on Klai Yisrael. That it was a great miracle that the whole of Klai Yisrael was in one spot and they were all saved. Next miracle the Braisa talks about is the Evan Shayoshav Lev Moshe, the rock that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting on. That when he was fighting Amalek, the chesiv, as it says in the pasuk, v'dei Moshe kivedim, that the hands of Moshe were heavy. V'yikru evan v'yisimu tachto v'yeshev aleihu, and they took a stone and they placed it on him and he sat on it. So that is what we remember when we had the great miracle when we won against Amalek. That stone reminds us of that miracle. V'ishta shalait, and the wife of Light, shnem, as it says in the pasuk, v'tabit ishta machayev, that his wife turned around from behind, v'tihi nitziv melech, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And that is when you see the pillar of salt, it reminds of that great miracle. Another one of the miracles that the Brisa said was that the wall of Yericho, of Jericho, they got swallowed into the ground when Yeshua, when Kalaisa were coming into Eretz Yisrael to fight against the nations that were in Eretz Canaan. It says in the Pasuk, that the wall fell underneath itself. So then the Gemara asks, Bishleim Akul and Nisai, understand all the things we mentioned in the Brisa are miracles. And we say, Shvach and Aydah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the wife of Lot, that's a punishment. Why are we saying a bracha on a nest of that? So the Gemara says, the Amma Baruch Tayin Emes, it's a miracle, but the version of the bracha is that Hashem should be blessed, that he's the true judge, that she deserved it, so to speak, almost. But the Gemara asks, the Brisa says that on all these things we give thanks and praise. That's not the bracha of Baruch Tayin Emes, that's not thanks and praise. That's, so to speak, justifying Hashem's justice. So the Gemara says you have to learn it as follows. Tani aloit val ishtoi mevarchim shtayim. That on Lot and his wife, there's two brachas. Al ishtoi ome baruch dayinu emes. On the wife, that's when you say the bracha of the true judge. Va'aloit and aloit, that's what it was saying. Shvach anaydah is a reference to Lot. That there you say the bracha of baruch zerchet tzaddikim. That Hashem should be blessed that he remembers the righteous ones. And that is that because Lot was saved in the merit of Avram, that he remembered Avram. So that's why Hashem remembered the tzaddikim, as the Gemara says. That Amr B'yechon and Afil B'shas Kaisa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zerch HaTzaddikim. Remember that time as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, so to speak, he remembers the righteous. Remember, as it says in the pasuk, V'hi B'shachas Hilakim Hasar HaKikah, that it was when Hashem was destroying the cities of the plain, which is a reference to Stoim, V'yiskur Hilakim Hasar Avram, and Hashem remembered Avram, V'yishlech Has Lot M'teich HaFeicha V'goyim, and that he sent forth Lot, who was Avram's nephew, that from the whole upturning of the whole city, and that is that, that's the bracha of Hashem remembers the tzaddikim, and that's why Lot was saved. And that's the shvach of Aydah, but not a reference to his wife, that's the bracha of Dinah Emes. Then the Gemara goes back to discuss one of the things that we mentioned. Because V'chaim Yisirich HaShinivlo, and the wall of Jericho, they got swallowed into the ground. But the Gemara asks, V'chaim Yisirich HaNivlo, is it true that the walls of Jericho got swallowed into the ground? V'anafla, the pasuk says that it fell down, Shinemer. As it says, that when the nation heard the sounds of the shofar, because they surrounded the walls and they were blowing the shofars, and the nation was making these large sounds and these noises, but and the wall fell down underneath itself. So you see that it fell. So the Gemara says, when it says that this wall fell, it has to mean that it got swallowed into the ground. Why is that? Even the pusi verumik, in the sense, the height and the width of the wall were the same, it must be that it got swallowed into the ground, and that is because if it would fall, it wouldn't be recognizable that it fell, because it's going to be the same height as it was when it was on its height, because the width and the height are the same thing. Like you take a square, a block, and when you roll it over, it looks the same. So therefore, it must mean that it got swallowed in. If it's calling that it fell down, it must mean that it got swallowed into the ground. So up until now, the Gemara was discussing from the Brisa, as our Mishnah spoke about, places where there were miracles that happened to our forefathers, and that's the brachas we make of the nisim that happened for the Gans of Klal Yisrael. Now the Gemara is going to discuss regarding individuals, when they're saved, that they also have to give shvach on their da'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Yehuda Merav, there are four types of people that have to give thanks to Hashem when they're, so to speak, saved finally from the danger. And that's the bracha that we know of HaGoymel, that the bench Goymel. Who are these four types of people? Yerde Hayam, those who go down to the seafarers. Holchemidbar is those that travel through in the desert. Umisha Hayacholib in the Shabbat, someone that was sick and they got healed. And the fourth one is Misha Hayachavish Beves Asurim Beyatza, someone that was jailed in jail, that he was, so to speak, locked up in jail, and he went out. These four types of people have to give thanks to Hashem. So the Gemara is going to bring a large quote from the Perek in Tehillim, Kuf Zayin, which is a very large chapter in Tehillim, and it talks about all these four different types of people and says explicitly that they have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara is going to discuss all these four people from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Zayin. So Yerda Yemenol, where do we know that the one that goes down into the sea, he goes on a ship, he goes through on a journey, that he has to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Chsivet says in the Pasuk, Yerde Hayom Bo'anias, those that go down into the sea on the ships, Begoyman, etc., the psukim continue, He miro'u masi Hashem, that they saw the works of Hashem. Voyman, it says, V'yameid ruach sa'ar, that he raised the stormy wind, Yalu shemayim yer tisohemis, they went up into the heavens, down into the depths. Voyman, it says, Yechaygu v'yenu kashikur, that they reeled and they staggered like a drunkard. In other words, the ship, there are storms on the sea, it's a dangerous area. Voyman, it says, V'yitz'aku al Hashem, etzalem, and they screamed out to Hashem in their distress. From the straits he took them out. And it says, these are all the psukim again in Ketilim Kavzayin, Yakim Sa'ar Lidmama, that he halted the storm to restore the calm. Vayimin, it says, Ve'yismuchu chiyishtoikon, that they were rejoicing that the waters quieted. Vayimin, it says, Yaydu Lashem Chazdai, let them give thanks to Hashem for his kindness, v'nifloizav le'yadim, and for his wonders for mankind. So that's how we see that those who go down to the sea, that they have to give thanks to Hashem for the miracles that they were saved from. Halchemid Baras Mendalim, where do we know those that go into the desert, that they also have to give thanks? Tachsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, and again, this is a continuation in the Pesukim in Tehillim Kav Zayin, Ta'u v'amidbar b'shimen darach, that they wandered in the desert, in the desolation of the path, Ir Moshev Loimetso, a settled city they had not found, V'yitzaku el Hashem, and they screamed out to Hashem, V'yadrichem b'derech Yishore, and he led them on a straight path, Yaydu l'Hashem Chazdai, let them give thanks to Hashem for his kindness. So we see that someone that went into the desert has to thank Hashem. Mishachalav in the Strapa. Where do you know that somebody got sick and they got healed? The Chseva says in the Pesukim, also there in Tehillim Kav Zayin, Evilim miderech pishim, that they were fools because of their sinful path. Umevanisei misanu, and that because of their averis they were afflicted. Kol oichel tasav navsha megoyimah, that all food their soul abhors. Again, that sickness comes onto a person because of their averis. Vayizaku al Hashem etzalem, and they screamed out to Hashem in their difficulties, in their distress. And that's the idea of sickness, that it should awaken a person to finally call out to Hashem. Yishlach devar v'yiparim v'yigayim, that Hashem sends his word and he heals them. Yoydu l'Hashem chazdeh, that they should give thanks to Hashem for his kindness. So there we see the third item of someone that's sick and gets well, that he should give thanks to Hashem. And the fourth one is Mishah Hayichavish b'veis asur menon. Where do we know someone that is locked up in jail, that he has to give thanks to Hashem when he's released? Tachsev, as it says in the Pasuk, Yeshri Cheshich v'tzalmabes v'gaymer, those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Ki himru imre el v'gaymer, because they, so to speak, they rebelled against the word of Hashem. V'ayman, it says in the Pasuk, V'yachne ba'amal libam v'gaymer, that he humbled them with hard work, he humbled their hearts. V'ayman, it says, V'yizakul Hashem v'tzalim, they screamed out to Hashem in their distress. V'ayman, it says, Yitziyem echeshech v'tzalmabes v'gaymer, that he takes them out from darkness and from the shadow of death. V'ayman, it says in the Pasuk, Yoydu l'Hashem chazdai, let them give thanks to Hashem for his kindness. So we see that all these four different categories are all referred to in Tehillim, in Perek of Zion, that they were saved from dangerous situations, and they should give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they're finally released from their danger. So then the question in the Gemara is, Maim Avarach, what is the bracha, what is the nusach that one says? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Baruch Goymel Chasadim Tovim, that Hashem should be blessed that he bestows good kindnesses. And the girsa that we have, the Vilna Goyim brings down from the Rif and the Rush, is that Baruch Goymel Chayovim Tovim, that Hashem should be blessed that he bestows for those that are obligated, that they're, so to speak, found deficient. But still, even though we are Chayovim, he gives us Tovim, Shegim Lani Kal Tovim, that he bestowed upon me all the good. So the Gemara qualifies that this halacha, that one has to bench Gaimel, that one has to give this thanks of this bracha in front of 10 people. Tachseva says in the Pasuk, that they will praise him in the multitudes of the nation. And that is said over there at the end of that chapter, which speaks about all these four types of people in Tehillim Kav Zayin. It says this Pasuk, so we see that it has to be said, which Rabbi Kibbeh brings down in Gilyan Hashas, that a kahal is referenced to 10 people, like Rashi and Ksubis and Zayin and Beis, the Masal B'Makela says over there, so that's how we know that it has to be said in front of 10 people. However, the Gemara qualifies this again, that Marzutra Amar V'Train Minai Rabbanan, 2 out of the 10 people have to be Talmudic scholars. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'Meishiv Zikeinim Yahalu, that in the session of the elders you should give him praise. So we see that the Talmid HaChacham have to be in that group of 10, that at least 2 of them should be Talmid HaChacham when you're benching Gemel. So the Gemara asks, Maskev the Ravashi, even name a Kul Rabban, if it's saying Memoshev Zekeinim, that it's a session of elders, let's say that all the 10 people have to be Talmudic scholars. So the Gemara says, Miksev Bekal Zekeinim, does it say in the multitudes of the elders? Bekal Amksev, who are the multitudes? It says that it should be Moshev Zekeinim, there has to be at least 2, but the multitudes of the, it says, Bekal Am, of the nation, of the people, that regular people could be from the 10 people. Just at least 2 of them has to be Moshev Zekeinim, 2 out of the 10. But then the Gemara asks, Ve'ema be'asara shar'ama utrei rabbanan. Maybe we should say that the 10 people, which is the kahal, that has to be from the rest of the nation. That's the yam, that's 10 regular people. And when it says Moshe's kingdom, is 2 other people, that there should be 12 people. 10 regular people and 2 Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Kasha, it is a difficulty. Which Tosis does say that that's why we should do L'Churma, that there should be 12 people, 10 regular people, and at least 2 Talmid Chacham. However, Tosis says that, but the Evid, after the fact, even if there's no 2 Talmudic scholars, you're in a minyan that doesn't have Rabbanan, still you should go ahead and bench Gemel in front of 10 regular people. And Tosis says that the Minig Olam is, and that is Al Minig, to make it after one has an Aliyah by the Torah. It's necessarily only, says this, that let's say a sick person got healed, as he was nafal amita, that he was bedridden. But if he just has a headache or a stomachache, and he wasn't bedridden, then one does not make this bracha of benching gemel. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda cholash ve'itpach, Rabbi Yehuda was sick, and he got better. So he was one of the 4 categories to have to bench gemel. Alagabei Rav Chanan Bagdasav Rabbanan. So Rav Chanan from Baghdad and the Rabbanan, they came to visit him. Amrilei, they said to him, oh, Baruch Rechmanu deyahavich na'alon, bo yahavich la'afra. Hashem should be blessed that he gave you to us and didn't give you to the earth. In other words, that you survived. So Amalahu, patartin yasim ladu, he says, so you absolved me now. You exempted me from giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that was considered, so to speak, the abracha of Goymel. To which Taisa asks, but they didn't say Melech Ha'olam, and we know that the Gemara says that any bracha that doesn't say Melech Ha'olam is not a bracha. So Taisa says that Rabbi Yehuda was from the students of Rav, and Rav says in Perakitim Avarchim, Daf Mem and Beis, that a bracha does not need Melech Ha'olam, it just needs to mention Hashem's name, and that Rachmana is one of Hashem's name. So therefore he was saying, you exempted me, I don't have to bench Gemara anymore. To which the Gemara asks, Bo'amar Abaye, but Abaye had already qualified that Bo'yu Dui Ba'api Sarah, that the benching of Gemel has to be said in front of 10 people. So the Gemara says, the Havibastra, there were 10 people there. But the Gemara says, but he didn't give thanks, they gave thanks. So the Gemara says, Loi Tzarech, the only Bastrai Amen, that he answered, he responded to them Amen, and that's the halacha of when one answers Amen to another person's bracha, related to the halacha of Shemei Kaina, that it's as if you said it yourself, and that's why he says, you already exempted me from me requiring me to bench Gemel. So up until now, we were speaking about Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, quotes a few different statements that Rabbi Yehuda said. In this place he says 4 people that required to bench Gaimon. Now he's going to speak about other things of amounts of people and different things, what they are. So Am Rabbi Yehuda, Shloisha Tzrichin Shimer. 3 types of people need to be watched, and that is they have to be protected from the mazik and from the demons. Ve'eluhen, and these are Chayla, someone that's sick. That is because his luck, his mazel, so to speak, was weakened. And that's why the demons, so to speak, have a certain power over him and they could, so to speak, attack him. And similarly, as the Gemara is going to say about a woman that gave birth or someone that's a mourner, these are people that their mazel is lower. And that's why that the shadim, so to speak, could attack them. And chasan, a groom, bakala, and a bride, that is not because their mazel is weaker, and to the contrary, because the demons are jealous of them for their great stature, similar to what the Gemara is going to bring regarding a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, they get jealous and they want to attack them. So therefore, these three types of people, which are basically 2 categories, are those that have weaker mazel and those, so to speak, almost higher, that the demons could attack either there because they're weaker than they're more vulnerable, or because like Chasan Kala, because they're more jealous. So they have to have a shaman, someone has to be around with them to protect them, that they shouldn't be just one person. As we know that when there's 2 people, Mazikin cannot damage that person. It's only when you're an individual alone. So by Masnitatan in the Brisa we learned, Chayla, someone that's ill, Chaya, a woman that gave birth, Chasan, Bekala, and a groom and a bride, these 4 types of people need to have a shamir. And some say, even a mourner. And some say, even Talmudic scholars at night, because at night, so to speak, demons have greater dominion, and especially Talmud Chacham, when they're jealous over, they're going to attack him. Talmud Chacham should not be walking alone at night, he should have a shamir with him. Another statement from Rabbi Yehuda, also in a numerical fashion. Rabbi Yehuda said there are 3 things that whoever is lengthy in these things, they lengthen his days and his years. And they are, Hamarach b'tfilas, if someone's lengthy in his tefillah and his davening. Hamarach al shulchan, if someone spends a lot of time on his table. And that is, as the Gemara is going to explain, that since if he's there a long time, then poor people will come and they'll be able to have from the food on his table. And the 3rd one is, Vahamarach b'pesakis, if someone spends a long time in the lavatory, it's healthy for the person to be able to clean out a system from waste. So now the Gemara discusses only 3 things. Vahamarach b'tfilas al yusehi, is it true that someone that's lengthy about his prayer, and when he davens a long shemun esrei, so to speak, that's good for a person? But we learned the following statement. And we continue on to the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. That the Rabbi Yochanan had said that whoever does have a long shemun esrei, and he contemplates it, he's thinking about it, that at the end he's going to come to heartache. In other words, if a person's contemplating, he's thinking in his heart that his bakasha, his request should be fulfilled from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm davening with so much kavanah, so much intent, he comes to heartache because his bakasha will not become fulfilled. Shanim, as it says in the pasuk, techeles m'meisheicha machalev, that a prolonged prayer brings sickness for the heart. And therefore we see that techeles is lashon tefillah, like it says by Chal Moshe. So a prolonged prayer is not good. It's going to make him sick, that he, so to speak, he's convinced he's going to be answered, and it's not. As the Gemara continues, and it says, the three things that recall a person's sins, and that is these three things, are, so to speak, that because of these things, they start searching and saying, oh, this person's so confident in his merits, let's see how good he really is. And what are these three things? Kirinato, when there's a wall that's leaning over, which is dangerous, that because it could collapse at any moment. So this that he's doing a dangerous stunt, that they say, oh, he really is so convinced that he deserves to live. Let's check out if he's really so meritorious. Ve'iyun tefillah, and contemplating one's tefillah. U'moysa din al-chaver l'shamayim, if someone gives over his judgment about his friend to heaven, in other words, he's so convinced about his merits that his friend will be punished, that you're hurting me, Hashem should punish him because I'm so righteous, how could you chep me? So therefore the question is making a long Shemoneh Esrei good or bad? We said that it is good, it lengthens the person's days and his years, and here it sounds like that so to speak, it causes bad things to a person if he has a lengthy Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, Holei Kasha, and that's if one looks at the Halacha, it says, Hod me'ayin be'e, hod loy me'ayin bo, that if one contemplates it, so that type of person comes to heartache, and that recalls the person's sins, because he's convinced that because of his own rights, Hashem, you know, saying, I'm davening for this, I deserve this, then that person will come to heartache, and his request will not be fulfilled, and it recalls his sins. But this was talking about when it lengthens his days, and it's good for a person, is if that he's not contemplating, he's just davening. He's not convinced that, so to speak, because of his tefillah, he deserves, so to speak. So then the Gemara says, "Hey Chavis, so what should he do? What's he davening so long about if he's not, so to speak, coming from his own merits to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, answer me because I'm davening with so much kavana?" So the Gemara answers, "The mapesh berachmi." He should have a lot of request of mercy. In other words, a person should have a lengthy Shemoneh Esrei. That's good if he's relying on the Rach HaShemayim. Tefillah is not about me. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know it's all you. I know it's not me. I know that if I want anything to happen, it's only in your greatness and your kindness. And I beseech you because of your rachmim, again, not because of being ma'ayinit, because I deserve it, because I'm great, rather only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmim in such a long Shemoneh Esrei is ma'arech yama b'shnayis tushaladam.